fact that the Lord is with us every step of the way. And that the Lord is in control if we let Him be in control. We can take the reins from Him if we so desire of our own individual lives, and we can do what we want to do because He'll let us do that. But I've learned in my years of serving Him that it's in my best interest to do what the Lord would have me to do, because I could mess up my life pretty quickly, pretty fast, pretty soundly, and pretty quickly. Let's put it that way. I want us to turn to Romans, the 12th chapter. We want to start reading at the first verse, read the first three verses. I want to talk about a transformation. And I also want someone along with that to get 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. I want us to read, first of all, Romans 12. I beg you, brethren,
by the mercies of God,
I'm begging you by the mercies of God.
In your body,
and this is what I want you to do. I want you to present your bodies
a living sacrifice, holy,
acceptable unto God, and it's your reasonable service. So I want you literally to give your body. This is what the apostle is saying here. I literally want you to give your bodies to the Lord. I beg you to do that. By the mercies of God, you present, you give to the Lord your body, a living sacrifice, which means what a sacrifice is something that you give away, and they could be done. What they could burn it, they can do whatever they want to do with it. But I ask you to give your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is real reasonable service.
And
be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God dealt to every man the measure of faith. Do you know one of our greatest problems in our society is most of us, I'm not exempting anybody here, most of us at some point in our lives have thought more highly of ourselves than we ought to. We think when there is something that comes up to us, we get all indignant about it. Somebody did that, I know they didn't do this to me. We get all indignant about it, that we feel that we are above that, and they had no right to do this to me. And so we can think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. The Lord allowed this particular thing to happen to you. He allowed it to happen to you to get your attention. And if you allow the Lord to use it in the way that He wants to, He'll help humble you and bring you down to the place that you can see yourself for who you really are. So He says here, I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. There is a sobriety, a way that we should think about ourselves. We shouldn't have low self-esteem, but we shouldn't have it so high that we think we're the best thing since sliced bread. The Lord wants us to look at ourselves in a more balanced way. All right? Now, I want us to turn over. We're going to come back to this. I want us to turn over along with this to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. I want to read the 17th verse.
Therefore,
if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So what this tells us is that when we give our heart to the Lord, we're not the same creature that we were before we did it. So in other words, what happens is there is a transformation. Something happens where the Lord takes what I used to be, the man that I used to be, the things that I used to desire, and the things that I used to crave, the Lord transforms, that there is a transformation, and I become a new creature. Old things that I did, the places that I went to, I don't go there anymore. The things that I used to do, I don't do them anymore. Why is that? Because there is something that has taken place. One of the things that we don't see is a butterfly that turns into a caterpillar is generally on the ground crawling on something, right? But when there is a transformation, there is something beautiful that takes place. And there's something that is much more beautiful than a caterpillar crawling on the ground or crawling on a tree branch. This has ability to take flight. It has ability. It's beautiful. It's something that can go from one place to another much easier than a caterpillar that you want to squash. Now, how many people want to take a butterfly and just grab them in their hand and squeeze them? No, it's beautiful, isn't it? Well, in the same way, this might be indicative of the transformation that takes place from our old life to our new life. All right? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He is something different. In other words, the Lord can take me, dip me in the blood of Jesus Christ. I can confess my sins. You, I, anybody in this world can confess their sins and ask the Lord to wash our sins all away by the blood of Jesus Christ. And what happens is we become a new creature. I don't know how it happens. I don't know what happens in that cocoon when that caterpillar crawls in there and he begins to put the cocoon around. I don't know what happens, but I know that when he comes out, he is a new creature. All right? He is different than what he was when he went in. I believe if we really look at that, that is indicative of the resurrected life of Jesus Christ. It is, we go into the tomb. He went into the tomb. He was crucified. He went into the tomb. But what happened? That tomb opened. He came out of there and he was glorified. All right? In the same way, what happens to you and I when we go into that cocoon, shall we say, into that tomb where we come to find a place of prayer and we pray and we ask the Lord, Lord, have mercy on me. I have committed these sins. I've done these things and I know that they have grieved your heart, Lord, and I want you to make me a new creature. And you know what I believe he does? I believe he takes us and he wraps us, if you will, in his blood. We are crucified with him, the scripture says. We are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, yet not I. It is Christ that lives in us. And what happens is the transformation that takes place in us, the Lord dips us, shall we say, in the blood of the precious blood of the Lamb. He wraps us in. We are literally, or we might say figuratively, more than literally, we are put in the tomb, and in a space of time we come out and we are glorified. You understand what I'm saying? I'm a new creature. I'm not the same person that I was. Jesus was able to do things that he didn't have the ability to do in the human body. Walk through walls. He didn't do that before he was resurrected. And in the same way, if we enter into the resurrected life of Christ, we'll be able to stand firm in the midst of many trials and temptations that we come against. Lord, help us. All right? So, we're a new creature. I want to lay that out as a foundation. We are a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Most people that have any kind of religious background understand that to a certain extent. Some of us understand it more than others. Now, we go back to Luke, the 12th chapter. What did he say here? I beseech you, brethren, I beg you, by the mercies of God, that you would present your bodies. Do you realize that when you give your heart to the Lord, when you get saved, do you realize that there is another step that you have to take? In order for you to maintain your victory in the Lord, you've got to give the Lord everything that you are. And really, what do you have that's really, truly yours? You don't have anything, but the Lord's given you this body, right? And this body is yours. And he allows you to do in this body whatever it is that you want to do. If you want to serve him, you have the right to do it. If you don't want to serve him, he's not going to force you to do it. You are a free moral agent. You can do what you want to do. You can do it when you want to do it. It's your body. Now, what he's doing here is he's asking you, I want you to take your body that I've given to you, that I made. I want you to take your body and I want you to give it to me. I want you to present it to me as a living sacrifice. I'm not going to take your life from you, but I want your life to be as though it was dead. It's not your life anymore. It's mine. You've sacrificed it to me, and I'll do with your life what I want to do with your life. This is what the Lord is saying to us. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you, of your own free will, you present, you lay your body on an altar, you might say, and say, Lord, here I am. Use me in the way that you want to use me. Now, you've heard my story many, many times. My desire was never to be a preacher. Never thought I'd be one. Never had a desire to be one. But when I met the Lord and the old things passed away, and behold, all things came new, and the Lord opened up my understanding that, Daryl, you need to present your body as a living sacrifice to the Lord. The things that you wanted to do, the ambitions and all of that thing that you had, I don't want you to do that. I want you to give it to me and let me direct your life the way that I want to, the Lord says to me. And you know, it was a struggle. It wasn't the easiest thing to do. I am not here to tell you that living a saved life is easy. But I am here to tell you that it's easier than not living one. And I know the difference. I've been on both sides of the fence. Alright? And I'll tell you that the Lord will be your strength. He'll be your refuge. Whatever it is that you're dealing with, whatever it is that you're going through, the Lord is not going to let you go through it by yourself. If He says to you, if He says to us, I want you to present your body a living sacrifice, He has a purpose for that. He has a purpose that He wants to do with your life. Now, there have been many turns in all of our lives, no doubt, that we weren't expecting, right? I didn't really want to go through this. I didn't really want to do this. But the Lord has been there with you every step of the way, has He not? And so the Lord can take us on a path that we wouldn't have chosen for ourselves. But let me tell you what I've learned. I've learned from my own experience and watching the experiences of others that the Lord knows better how to take me, what path that I need to be on than I know myself. Here's the point. The Lord already has been on the path. He's already seen it. He already knows what's there, and He's going to take me through. So I present my body. I'm willing to do that. Lord, I'm willing to give you me. I'm willing to give you all of me. I'm willing to give you my body. You know what? Everything that is done in the world is done with the body. First computer that was made, every skyscraper that was built, every ship, every plane, is done with the body. Somebody did it. All right? So in the same way, whatever is going to take place in a spiritual way, whatever thing that the Lord wants to do spiritually in this time world is done with a body. And this is why it's imperative for you and I to be willing, Lord, here am I, send me. I want to do this for you. I want to be what you want me to be. I want you to use and utilize my body in the way that you want to accomplish whatever it is that you want to accomplish. And what we have to understand is that the Lord uses me as an individual, He uses you as an individual, and you as an individual, and all of us that are submitted to the Lord, He uses us as individuals, and He puts us all together, and He puts us together with people that we don't even know. And this person does this, and it starts the reaction that God wants, and then I pick up something here, you do something over here, and before you know it, we're all part of the great plan of God. All right? Now, so it's our reasonable service. It's not unreasonable for the Lord Jesus to have given His body as a sacrifice for our sins. It's not unreasonable for us to give our bodies back to Him. Because He did. He's not asking us. If you go through the Scripture, you'll never find a place where the Lord has asked us to do something that He Himself has not already done for us. He has the perfect example. He leads the way. All right? Now, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. So we're talking about a transformation here. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of the Lord. Now, what we find in our society today is that a good majority of Christians are being conformed to this world. All right? And we are not exempt from it. And no doubt, as we examine our lives and as the Lord talks to us about certain things, He tells us that we've gotten a little bit too close to the way the world thinks about things. And it's very difficult for us not to, unless we keep our minds and our hearts focused on the things of God. Or we'll begin to slip, you might say, into the way that the world thinks about it. And one of the things that I've known, and here are a few examples. One of the things that I've said many times in my ministry, have you ever noticed that when probably the biggest public stage of that everybody is inclined to watch is when there is a re-election of a president, right? Have you noticed how many millions of people are watching the presidential debates, how many millions of people are on the news and saying which one they're going to vote for and which one they're, what are the issues, what are the points. Have you ever noticed how there is always a moral issue? There is a level of moral complexity or ambiguity. All right? I want you to understand that. Now, we are in the throes right now of same-sex marriage, which is an abomination to the Lord. Now, we love everybody that is homosexual. We don't dislike them, but we do not condone their lifestyle. And so now I want you to think about it. Here, I had a neighbor that was he was in that lifestyle, right? Made no bones about it. And his dog would come to play with our dog, and we would talk. And when this first came out, this was probably 8-9 years ago, he said, "You know what? I'm not in agreement with same-sex marriage. Let's talk plain. It's in the news, right? Can I do that?" He said, "I'm not for it. It don't need to be getting married. It's not right." And since that time, I believe this man has given his heart to the Lord. He invited me when he got baptized. So we trust that he has. But here's the point. The first time you heard about it, were you like, shocked? Like, how dare they? We are going to stand against this as long and as hard as we have to. We're going to do it, and you were more indignant then than you are now. Now, think about the first time you heard it. Now think about what's going on now. They passed some laws in New Hampshire, a few other states, where this is legal, and it's really not even a legal matter. It's really a spiritual matter in one sense. All right. So now think about how you think about it now. How do you see it now? Is the point that I'm trying to make here is we still have the same kind of resistance against it, but not to the same intensity. You understand what I'm saying? It's to the point that now, you know, if they do it, let them do it. Let them do whatever they want to do. No, we have to pray against these kinds of things where there seems to be a moral complexity. Well, they say, you know what? Look, half of the people that get married that are heterosexual, man and woman, 53% of them get divorced. So they might as well, if you love. And our president, I'm so disappointed in it. He said, if you love somebody or something, on one of his speeches, what are you talking about if you love somebody? You don't have to take what I want to say is this is a frontal attack against what we stand for, spiritually speaking. What is a type of a man and a wife, a marriage of a man and a wife? And this is why I say, if you are in a marriage, you fight for that marriage. You fight for it. You ask the Lord, "Lord, have mercy on me that I can fight if it seems like I'm about, or the things are going to be where I have to break up. Lord, have mercy on me." Now, is Brother Darrell telling you to stay with a man, beats you and threatens you and puts a gun up to your head? Am I telling you to stay? I'm telling you to stay in a relationship like that. What I'm telling you is that God can be your refuge. You find a place to pray and you find a way to ask the Lord to change that person's heart. All right? So are you with me? But it doesn't come to most of that. Most of that is, we've got a financial problem. He can't seem to get his act together. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go find me somebody else. This is what the world says. Well, she acts like she wear the pants, and I'm going to let her know she don't wear the pants. No, she don't. She shouldn't. But did you pick them up and put them on yourself? Are you doing what you're supposed to do? Are you being the leader in the home, spiritually speaking? Are you being the leader in the home, financially speaking? You know, I give counsel not necessarily from the congregation here, but I get calls from various people where, Lord, help us, men. Young women, too. Particularly black women. Y'all some tough ones. It's true. And we just have to rise to the occasion. We just have to rise to the occasion and say, you know, in some way, Lord, give us the wisdom that we need. See, y'all thought I was just going to talk about the men, didn't you? But it goes, we can go all the way back on the history of it. We can go all the way back in the history of it, and there's a reason, there's a historical reason that you tend to be strong women. And I'm not against that, but I want you to know, don't suffocate the man that God has given you. There are some things that you need to be there to be his helpmeet, to lift him up and help him through these places that he don't even know what he's doing. Lord, help us. All right? But if we're not careful, we'll conform to the ideas of the world. And the way that we treat our spouse is the way that the world treats it, but it's not the way that the Lord tells us as people of God to treat our spouse. It says, for the man, this is not written down in my notes. For the man to dwell with his wife according to knowledge. And in one place it speaks about the wife to treat her husband according to, I think it's in, as unto the Lord. Can't get what it is. But what it gives is us a balance and an understanding. You have to know your companion. If you don't know them, you're not going to treat them right.
Submitting yourself one to another.
One to another in the fear of God.
Wives. Submit yourself unto your own husband.
Not somebody else's. As unto the Lord.
For the husband is the head of the wife.
Head of the wife.
Even as Christ is the head of the church.
Christ is the head of the church.
He is the Savior of the body.
He's the Savior of the body. That's good enough. Now what I want to say is, this is a type, our marriage. A marriage is a type of Christ in the church. And this is why we cannot get comfortable with what's going on in New Hampshire or any other state. All right? We can't get comfortable with that. And we can't become so indifferent. Yeah, it's going to happen and ain't nothing we can do. Yes, it is something you can do. You can pray. You can pray. And you can ask the Lord to help you. And you cannot be conformed to the way that the world thinks about it. Alright, so it says it be not conformed to this world. Another thing that came up that I wanted to bring, the Lord brought to my mind. You notice that I mentioned it last Sunday. We talked about December 21st, 2012 was supposed to be the end of the world, according to the Aztec calendar or something like that. Right? And it didn't happen, did it? And wasn't it early in the last year where somebody, like in May 23rd or something, with billboards, maybe this was the year before, some man was saying that the end of the world was going to come then. All right, so he presented it, and all these folks that were, he had a lot of followers. I don't understand why people do that. If you read the Bible, you would have known that man didn't know when the end of the world was going to come. But there is something that's taking place, and I believe the Lord wants us to understand that there are some things like this that are taking place that we get, well, there's a little suspense that leads up to December 21st. Maybe it is really close around that time, and then when it didn't happen, everybody made fun of it, right? But the Lord is coming. And so what happens is, if we're not careful, the way that we conform to the way that the world thinks is, you have it and they build it up, and the Lord knows it's not going to happen that day. It might happen the day before, it might happen the day after, but it ain't happening that day. It'll happen on a day that nobody knows. And so what happens is, we can conform to the way that the world thinks, and before we know it, we're believing, like they're believing, oh, we got through that one, December 21st, there's not a problem now. And we get really comfortable that the Lord may not come anytime soon, but the Lord wants you and I to live a life as if today is the last day that this earth will stand. And so if we're not careful, we'll conform to the way everybody else is thinking, and we'll believe what they're believing, and we'll conform. But he says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You need a new mind. Yes. Lord, give me an understanding of how to think about these things that are there. Do you know, I heard a statistic on the radio the other day. I didn't look it up. I'm just repeating it, and I believe I've got it correct. It said that now in our generation, there are 6 conglomerates that own 90% of all media outlets. So 6 CEOs, you might say, or 6 groups of board members are making all the decisions on 90% of the media that we see on a daily basis. And what does the media do? They tell us what is important to report. All right? And we follow that, and we don't even realize that we're doing it. And so what they do, there are some important things, and I don't even like politics, to be honest with you. I don't do a lot of reading of politics and all that. But I want to bring out the point that I believe the Lord wants you and I to understand, that this is why it is so easy for people of God, saints of God, Christians, whatever you want to call us, believers, whatever you want to call us, it is so easy for us to be conformed to this world, because we don't even realize what's going on. So they tell us what's important. Why do I need to know about everything that's bad that's happening and nothing good? All right? So they tell us the 24-hour news cycles. They tell us everything that they want us to know, and they present it how they, you know, they got one side that's liberal and one side that's conservative, and neither one of them are based on Scripture. Maybe one side has a little bit more moral stability on the surface, but that's only on the surface. Lord, have mercy on us. Be not conformed to this world. Don't think like the world thinks. All right? All right. So, there are two ways of presenting it, of processing it. One is by the Spirit of the Lord. This is what the Scriptures say. Bringing out one by the Spirit of the Lord and one by the Spirit of the age. And oftentimes what we do, we process, filter. We filter all the information through a mental framework, a spiritual or secular context. The way we see the world, how we process moral, ethical, spiritual stimuli affects how we respond to it. So sometimes we are processing things through a secular point of view. Because Rush Limbaugh said it. Now, I know probably most of y'all don't even like Rush Limbaugh. Or because somebody on, what's that liberal one? No, that's MSNBC. Or Fox News said it. What does the Bible say? So I'm getting all of the way that I should look at the fiscal cliff and everything that's going on in Washington. I'm getting it. The way this news outlet, which is owned by the same person that this news outlet is owned by, and they have the people on that they want to present, they have those out in front. That's where I'm getting my information. No, Lord, help me to pray and pray for our economic situation. Pray for our president. Pray for those that are in Congress. Pray for those that are in leadership position that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. Lord, help us to be willing to do that. Be not conformed, be ye transformed. Transform how? By the renewing of your mind. Now let me tell you something else. Alright, let's go a little further here. Let me go to Ephesians 4. I want to read some more scripture to support what I'm saying by scripture. Ephesians 4, verse 17.
This I say therefore.
I testify in the Lord. That ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. Don't walk like the world. The Gentile is representative of the way the world thinks, all right?
In the vanity of their mind.
They are walking in the vanity of their mind. Have you ever noticed how, can you imagine somebody that is on the radio? Listen, just think about this. Talk shows on the radio. Why do you think somebody would want to sit up and listen to you talk for 2 hours straight? That's not very interesting to me. About whatever time. You know, these people are very confident in themselves, aren't they? All right, let's read. Not in the vanity of their mind. In their mind, they are set on what they believe. All right, read.
Having their understanding darkened.
Being alienated from the life of God.
Through the ignorance
that is in them.
Because of the
blindness of their heart. Being past feeling,
have given themselves
over unto lasciviousness
to work all
uncleanness with greediness.
Ye have not so learned Christ.
If so be that ye have heard him,
and have been taught by him,
as the truth is in Jesus,
that ye put off concerning
the former conversation,
the old man,
which is corrupt concerning according to the deceitful lust,
and be renewed in the spirit of your mind,
that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. All right, so it says here that don't walk like the Gentiles have walked, having your understanding darkness in the vanity of their mind, first of all, then having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Do you understand what this is saying? Vanity of the mind. vanity, something that really is not of any importance whatsoever, and they have it so set in their mind that this is of great importance. You know, what? It's not of great importance, the things that are happening in this world. What is of great importance is how I'm responding to the things that the Lord is showing me. So, the vanity of our mind. So, this is one thing. Here are the points that I want to bring out in here. The vanity of their mind. So, things that are vain, vanity of their mind. Alright? What else does it say? Their understanding. So it's talking about all of these has something to do with their mind. Understanding darkened. Alright? Alienated from God. Alright? Ignorance that is in them.
Blindness of their heart.
Alright? Do you know that this is a thing that we're dealing with people all the time? That people are just so blind about the things of God that they don't even understand and they don't see it. And saints, you can't be like that. We can't be like that. We need to be, Lord, open my eyes. Give me understanding of what you would have me to do and what you would have me to say. Lord, help me not to be spiritually ignorant. I don't want to be ignorant. I want to have the understanding that you would have me to have. I don't want all these things that we're talking about here have something to do with the mind. So what he's saying here in this passage of Scripture is, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Lord, help us because we understand that there is things that are being bombarded in our mind. We see sin every day. And the sin that used to be so horrific is not so horrific anymore. You know why it's not so horrific anymore? You know the average child, I don't know, what spend 5 or 6 hours in front of a television every day? Have you seen the cartoons? Demonic. And you're sending something out of your hand, some lightning bolt. What is it? Where's that from? It's witchcraft, and we don't even understand it, but our children are being, you know what the Scripture says about you? Train up your child in the way that he shall go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. If you're sticking him in front of a television, and that's all that you do, you're not training him. Lord, help us. And what happens is, if you're not training them, somebody else is.
That's true.
And so what you have is, you have a lot of children that are being seduced. When they come to church, when they come to Sunday school, they can hardly be still because they need something that's exciting and something that you can jump around and do. And so what we have to do, what churches have to do and what churches have begun to do is accommodate. You know what all the time sisters used to do, what my mama used to do? You sit down there and don't move until I tell you. Then he give them 2 and 3 chances. ADHD, is that what you call it? We didn't have that when I was a boy. We didn't even know what it was. But we knew that you knew how to sit down and be still, whether you wanted to or not. And we did, didn't we? We didn't move till they told us. That's good, isn't it? All right. I'm going to try not to hold you too long because y'all already had 3 preachers up today. I'm just bringing up the rear. All right, let's go to 2 Peter 2, verse 1. All right, now I want to talk a little bit more about this training up a child. You spend time with your child. Do you know what I've learned? And I've raised 2 of them, so I know what I'm talking about. Raising children is one of the hardest things in the world because there are so many influences that they have. But you spend whatever time that you have to raise your child. You do whatever you have to do to let your child be, to make your child an asset to society. You do whatever you have to do. Because if you don't start right now when that child is young and try to mold his mind to think like from a biblical standpoint, that child has got a lot of things against him. All right, now we were in 2 Peter 2, verse 1. False prophets among the people. Even that there should be false. Do you know that there are false prophets today? Do you know that everybody that goes to a church, you know, I was reading some things. I was reading a book, a few books, some by Rebecca Brown, and they were talking about Satanism and whatnot, and one of the women was a witch, Elaine. Y'all probably read some of that, but that's not the only one that I've read. But do you know what they said? They said that some of these mega churches, some of the people that, I don't know who they are, and I'm not making any kind of determination as to who is right and who's not right, but they said a lot of them are Satan worshipers. The pastors. Secretly, they are Satan worshipers. Now, this didn't come from me. It came from somebody that was there. She was high up in it. And so in a lot of these places, they say they give them a lot of money, and they're able to do a lot of things and draw a lot of people. And then, have you ever noticed that there are some that you never hear them call the name Jesus, and they don't have, now what they're doing, they're taking all symbolic things out of the churches, and they're just making it a very generic kind of thing. I'd be afraid of that kind of stuff. And it's generally a good public speech, and it's generally something that is motivational speaking. And it motivates you to do more, and you can do more, and it has maybe one scripture that they use in the discourse of what they're talking about. Do you know why do they do that? It's because are they right? Are they conforming to the world? Do you know what we have to do? Let's say for right now, we've been here for a little while. Normally we're out of church by now, and I'm still preaching. Right? Normally we're out of church by now. Yep. All right, so it's going into overtime. We could say at Texas Stadium in overtime because it was a good game, wasn't it? But in church, we need to be out by 12:30, or else I get a little... I wish he would hurry up and get his point across. I already heard that part. Lord, help us. Be not conformed to this world. All right, you're at a ball game. Brother Darrell is going to hit a home run or throw a pass, whatever it is. Change your mind. We can be in church for 2 hours. It ain't going to kill you. What do you got to do today? Go and eat. What else you going to do? Take a nap. What else you got to do? You got to go to work? No. Then stay in church. Lord, help us. I'm not going to make any apology for however long I'm up here today. All right? No apologies today. Oh, he preached all night. I ain't got that far yet. I'd probably fall out the window. Haven't done that yet. But I want to be able to get us an understanding of what God wants. So here we got false prophets here. You realize that there are people that are false prophets that are among us? And do you know what happens? It's not so much that what they do is they appeal to the flesh. Have you ever heard some? Have anybody ever said to you, "You know, I got freedom. I got liberty. I ain't got to do all that stuff y'all do." Anybody ever said that to you? I got liberty too. I'm doing what I want to do. Nobody is forcing me to do it. But this is what I've learned. I've learned that when my mind is not conformed or transformed by the renewing of my mind is not conformed or transformed to the things of God. It's conformed to the things of the world. And so what happens is this conformity makes me feel like the things that I'm doing for God are bondage. And the bondage of the world is freedom. It's not. I really do what I want to do. I really do that. And so it says, be trans, think differently. Lord, help me to think differently. Put something in my mind where I'm not thinking the way that I used to think. And the only way for that to happen is me to present my body a living sacrifice. Holy. Acceptable unto the Lord. And the Lord begins to change our mind. Let me tell you what's... There's a trend that's going on now. And you can read about it. Most people feel like they don't have to go to church in order to be a good Christian. When the Bible says very plainly, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. When the Lord says very plainly that we're part of a body. That we're part of a congregation of people. And everywhere you go in the Bible, you see no one that is isolated but of their own free will. I know there will be times that there may be some circumstances and situations where that person cannot be in a environment where there are other saints and people that are believing the way that they believe. But you can't do it when there's a church around, when the Lord's provided something around the corner for you and you decide, I'm just not going. I can stay at home. It's my day. Sunday's my day. I'm going to take off my shirt and my shoes and I'm going to relax. All right? Be not conformed be not conformed to this world. All right? Romans 8, verse 6. And one thing that I find that happens is that what the devil will try to do to many people, he'll try to separate them from those that can help them. He'll try to take away the influence of the church. Have you seen that happening? You know, one of the reasons that you have all these big problems in churches and whatnot is not, you know, you had recently, you hear about these big time preachers and that have fallen and whatnot. You know that that's orchestrated by the devil. You know what he does? He does it where you can't trust anybody. You know, it used to be, and I've told you this before, it used to be that I remember one time, this was many years ago, maybe 10, 15 years ago, I told somebody, well, you can trust me, I'm a preacher. You know what they said? What they said. Them the kind you got to watch for. And it used to be that if you're a preacher, they would feel a certain level of comfort. But now that's not the case. The case is that they're suspect of you. And Lord, help us that we can live in the way that the Lord would have us to. All right, let's read Romans 8, verse 6. And then someone get us Colossians 3 and 18.
To be carnally minded is death.
But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Be carnally minded, to think like the world, to think like the flesh, is death. It'll lead to death. But to be spiritually minded, to think like the scriptures tell us to, is life and peace. Colossians 3 and 8. I'm sorry, 3 and 8.
But now. All these.
Yes.
Anger.
Wrath.
Malice.
Blasphemy.
Filthy communication.
Out of your. He's teaching us. He's training. All right?
Lie not to one another.
Seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds,
and
have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him.
Where there is neither Greek nor Jew,
circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also you're called in one body, and be thankful. So it tells us here, I won't elaborate on it because of the time that it'll take to do it. I won't elaborate too much on it. But he tells us what to put off. The old man is gone. I don't lie. I don't have malice. I don't these things that when they try to rise up in our heart, what do? When the enemy tempts us and when he presents us to him, what do? We go to the Lord and we ask the Lord, Lord, transform my mind. Transform the way that I'm thinking about this. Do you know most of the time we feel like what's in our mind is the right way to think and it's not always the case? You got that? All right? But now he said, put off these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deed. There's been a transformation. I don't do those things anymore. So I need the Lord to renew my mind so that now when there's a temptation to say something that's not true, then the Lord gives me, by his power, in his life, he gives me what I need in order to speak the truth. And he tells us what to put on. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy. Be merciful to people. You want people to be merciful to you.
Yeah.
And this takes a transformation, doesn't it? Be merciful. Bowels of mercy, kindness. You know what a mercy is? Mercy is you can feel what that other person is feeling. And you know what? I'm not going to have judgment on that person. I'm not going to lay judgment because I wouldn't want them to lay judgment on me in that kind of a situation. So bowels of mercy, something that's coming out from within. Bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Does anybody care? Does anybody speak against these kind of things? Somebody being kind or humble, of humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. This is what I have to do. But the only way for me to do it, there has to be a transformation in my mind. The Lord has to transform me. Well, he don't deserve to be forgiven. Do you know what he did? Do you know what he said? You know how she did that and she did that? I'm not going to forgive her for that. She can just do whatever she... No, you don't want her to forgive you. Then you do it too. Transform your mind. You don't think properly. Don't ever come to the place that you feel like, oh, I know I'm thinking properly. The only way to think properly, really, is to have the mind of Christ. Lord, what would you have me to do in this situation? Romans 8, 21. Yes.
For whom he did foreknow,
he also did predestinate to be conformed into the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn. So what is our conformity to be? The Lord predestinated. This didn't mean that he predestinated some of us to go to hell, some of us to go to heaven. That wouldn't be a just God. He predestinated every one of us to go to heaven. He predestinated us, but it's our choice as to whether or not we want to do it. I'm going to choose. I choose. As the sister said, I choose whether or not I want to go. But the predestination, the bend that the Lord has given each one of us is to have eternal life. We all want to live forever. We all want to stay young. Maybe we stop about 35. We don't want to get any older. That's probably a good age. But we keep getting older, don't we? So we have, where is our hope? Our hope is over on the other side. And so what the Lord predestinated us to be is to be conformed, not to the world, but to be conformed to the image of his Son. I want to look like Jesus. I want in every trial, every situation that I'm going through, I want to be what God wants me to be. I want to think. I want to my mind to be what he would have it to be. And when we say that in our hearts and minds, you know the Lord comes in there and he gives us the strength to do whatever it is that we need to do. May the Lord help us. Pray for me. Let us stand and have a number.